Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Ed Morse is going to save you. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is South Florida High School Sports.com Radio on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and streaming at WQAM.com.
And that is us, and we welcome you in on this beautiful Monday evening in South Florida after kind of crazy Sunday that wherever you were, I'm sure you got something. Rain, wind. You hate that stuff, you know, because it's kind of like you sit there for 4 days and you knew it was coming. You know, I mean, they have the path that's, you know, it's coming down here, and at least if you're going to go through all that, and I'm not going to even knock it because we hadn't had rain in like 300 days, I'm telling you. I mean, it's, I look at my lawn every day, and it's just crazy. I mean, sprinkler systems are good. And we're not even in summer. That's the crazy part. And we're supposed to get to 90 sometime this week, and here we are in just in the beginning of April. And that signals so much if you're a football fan, and we're glad that you are with us this evening. Steven and I will be with you this evening until 8 o'clock. And during that period, we will be taking you from high school to college recruiting and everywhere in between. Great guests this evening. But this is the time of year, you know, where you're usually getting ready for spring, being the high school football teams, and knowing that colleges will be around to watch you at some point. But because of the dark period that was extended until May 31st, that pretty much does in the high school season. And I guess people have learned how to adapt by sending out tapes and having Zoom calls and such. But earlier today, I kind of, you know, got tipped off, I guess, that the NCAA will, in some modified way, beginning on June 1st, that's the day after May 31st, which signals that a lot of these college camps will open. A lot of colleges, as we said last week, when we were talking with Manny Diaz, a lot of these colleges obviously have jumped the gun, because I'm sure that they got word that was pretty much in concrete that they were going to be able to host on-campus events for the first time in almost 2 years. So that's the good news, yay, right? It's good news that at least we're in a society where COVID is still around, but we're making every attempt possible to limit the cases and limit the disease and protect ourselves. So, and get back to, there won't be any normalcy. Get back to living, okay? Living basically the way we can do it. And that's part and parcel of these young men trying to get that scholarships over. And just what the pandemic did alone, as far as backing things up and creating a more intensified transfer portal. So to get things back to somewhere where they were, where you would go and utilize a lot of the spring, which now begins at the end of April, and it goes to basically the end of May. But, and you have a certain amount of days to be out there, plus you lift and such, and college coaches used to come in, whether it be, you know, because you have your schedule. Every high school coach has a schedule that they send out to all the colleges, in media, I guess, too, to alert them on what is going to be going on during that month period. So they could come out and, you know, check them out, even if they wanted to use a visit just to come out and see them condition. But mostly just to watch them play football, and they won't have that this year. So as we talked last week, you know, it's time to be creative and sell yourself, which they do. And after scrimmages or after like intra-squad games or after a spring game this coming cycle, you send your tape away to colleges that you're interested in. Not overboard, but to do that, because remember, they're inundated as well, because they're going to be having this onslaught of attention as to give out, you know, to other recruits as well. So you have to understand that it's going to take time to unravel. It's like a cord, and the cord is kind of right now tied. You can see the whole cord, but you have to unravel it, and that's what this recruiting nightmare, as it is now, will unravel, and sooner or later we'll be back to some type of, and I'm not going to say normalcy, but some type of existence and living and having fun and having going to camps. Yes, that's the best part. That is the total darn best part of summers, to go. You know, I mean, if you're Floridians, you know it's hot. I mean, okay, so you act accordingly. You know, you head to, if you're at camps and stuff and they're day-long 7-on-7s or so, you know, make provisions to get shade and go in the car. But it's just, but there's no feeling like it to see hundreds and hundreds of football players, you know, busting their tail to get noticed. And they all bring their A game. That's when you go to these camps or their combines or the 7-on-7s, when you know people are going to be watching, you bring your A game. You don't want to do anything, that would mess up, you know. You're basically right now in a must situation as far as a makeup to get these college, because whether people understand or not, and it's really tough to explain, but there's that growth period that these college coaches were missing out on. These kids who are 15 and 16 grow, right, parents? They grow quick. Shoes, oh my gosh, they fit yesterday. Clothes, they just outgrow them, and they get bigger, and they go through that growth spurt. And those kids where they were maybe 9th or 10th graders who were 5'9 and 160, and you said, wow, I wish they were just a little bit bigger. Now they are. They're 5'11 to 6 foot. They're probably 185 to 190. They've had the opportunity to take advantage of weight training and conditioning and natural growth. And now they're peeking into, you know, what many thought they would be. And that's what I'm trying to illustrate, because these colleges were just going off, you know, hey, you know, John's gotten a lot bigger. Well, okay. You know, and a lot faster, but yeah, I want to see this. I want to see this for myself. And it wasn't possible and it wasn't feasible in a lot of ways for them to do that. So this is what happened. So we're at a situation now where in, I guess, 2 weeks, end of April, where high schools will get an opportunity to have their spring, which they didn't have last year, which will give them an opportunity to put the best football talent on the field. And again, remember, the college coaches, a lot of people just look at them as, hey, they're just recruiters. But they've got their own programs to run, too. So they're catching up much the way all the high schools are on house cleaning and getting their programs ready, so they'll have a job to recruit. I mean, if they don't win and they're spending all their time, you know, pleasing Johnny down here at Central or such, they're not going to have a job. So you have to find good recruiting balances. Head coaches don't come out in the spring. It's another one of those shake your head moments that I've ever since they instituted that rule, you figure, hey, listen, I only own the restaurant. Couldn't I hire my employees? You know, that type of thing. But I guess, you know, everybody else knows better. But in a situation like that, you try to get as much exposure as possible. And that's all you could do. As an athlete, you sell yourself. You go to these events. You know, I know that at these, like Under Armour's and such, the Nike's, Rivals, whatever, they know, I mean, because average kids are not going to sell their brand. They're just not. They're not going to get to the NFL. So obviously those are for more elite football players. We could fight it and say, ah, you know, I ran better than Johnny. But Johnny's been getting all this pub from somewhere. So Johnny got all this pub, and whether you're better than him or not, you're going to have to take that long way around to prove it. See, because he's got the free pass because somebody deemed him as a prospect. So at those events, a lot of those kids, although they invite a few people, mostly a lot of those kids that they're paying a lot of attention to are not going to come from nowhere to win the MVP. They're just not. They may push their way in with some great performances, and, you know, at the end of the day, they have their guys that they want, you know, that they think, and their recruiting people have said, hey, listen, if we stay on Steve, I think Steve's got the potential to one day be in the NFL, and then he could be wearing our brand. Listen, can't fault them. Got to do it. But at the same time, you as a parent or as a coach or a player, you have to understand where they're coming from. And there are other events that are geared to everybody. I mean, you know, you have some events, and you know, when I talk about those, I mean, in this economy with the way the parents are trying to, you know, just get it, those who have jobs now are trying to get things back in order because that was quite a gut punch in several ways to be out of work and, you know, to be on unemployment for, you know, a bit. A lot of people were. So now they're utilizing their money, the extra money that they're making, to put back in a home and maybe put back in their savings that they took from. And the last thing that they want to do is pay $300 for a camp. Ridiculous. Sorry. It's the way I feel. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. So I've seen and I know, you know, how, you know, a parent, it just, they, and especially if they don't understand the process. I mean, you can't go and say, hey, Ma, you know, I need this money to go to a camp. It's just, and I know a lot of those who work these events work something out with your, you know, you and your family and, you know, to reduce it. But you got to reduce it a lot. Got to give these kids a running start. And, you know, I mean, if you walk the walk, I mean, if you talk that talk, you got to do it and walk the walk. And there's a lot of people who get behind that and understand that these kids just, you know, just from just where they are economically, just can't afford these events. And that's why we try to point them in a direction where they can get the exposure and not have to pay an arm and a leg. You got to pay a little because the coaches that work it, you know, they got to get paid and they deserve it. They work darn hard for it. And so that I can understand, but there's paying a coach and then getting a little bit excessive. And I just think when you're trying to help kids, that's, and especially in this climate with a pandemic still over our heads, and in some cases, you do what you can do. But as I said, we are here till 8 o'clock this evening. We have an awesome show about, I guess, around 7:45 or so. We'll talk to Jerry Hamilton. Speaking about combines and camps from ESPN Recruiting, Jerry works a lot of the Under Armour events, and we'll talk to him and see, you know, what he has seen, you know, from his many stops and seeing a lot of the recruits and hearing from some of the venues that they've held events at, how the kids are responding and how they're doing and how they're getting promoted through that event. He'll join us at 7:45. At 7:30, we'll talk to Shannon Jordan. Shannon is a recruiting analyst from Prep Red Zone Florida. If you've had a chance to go to that, that's a pretty decent website. I do a lot of stuff for them. It's such a great thing where you can get a statewide look. But we'll talk to Shannon, who actually is a father of an athlete, and that's the reason he got into this. So he'll share some really interesting stories with you on recruiting and why he decided to be on this side, trying to place the kids because of his experience. He'll join us about 7:30 or so. At 7:20, we'll talk to Coach Derek at Gibson. If you know Coach Gibson from his days as a player at Killian, FSU standout, he's the head coach at Killian. We'll talk to him about 7:20 as Cougars are expected to do some really good things this season. At 7:05, we'll hook up with Coach Willie Taggart from FAU. We've talked to Willie last year when he got the job, when he was at FSU. We talked to him at Oregon. We talked to him at Western Kentucky. We talked to him at the USF. So he's been around, watched him play in high school, tremendous coach, trying to turn things around up in Boca Raton, and we're going to check in with him, I said, about 7:05. At 6:45, we'll go right down the road to St. Thomas University, head coach Bill Reichel, who's finishing up year two. We'll talk to him, kind of an abbreviated year two, but we'll talk to him. I know things are progressing extremely well down there, getting kids, and had a really good recruiting class. We talked to him about that. A lot of really good things going on. He's got some extra added duties to his title these days. We'll talk to him at about 6:45. At 6:30, they had the spring game at UCF. Jason Beatty, who covers the Knights, will check in and talk a little bit about what he had a chance to see. I guess Gus Malzahn's first spring in Orlando. We'll talk to him about 6:30. And about 6:20 or so, we'll talk to Coach Rocco Casullo. He's the head coach at Cypress Bay. If name sounds familiar, he's at St. Thomas Aquinas, won that national title, won a state title, and has done a great job wherever he's gone, and went to Mater Academy, and we'll talk to him in just a few minutes. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, talk a little high school football. Head coach Rocco Casullo is next. Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Show Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Stephen with you up until 8 o'clock this evening as we have a lot of ground to cover between then and now, and we start things off with a high school program that working its way back, and obviously tough year for everybody last year. Probably none tougher than our first guest head coach, Rocco Casullo from Cypress Bay. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Obviously, year one wasn't exactly something you sat in bed one night and said, hey, my first year is going to go like this. And certainly was a surprise that COVID came, delayed everything. But now you guys are back going full steam. Kids are responding. Talk about 1 year in.
Well, I don't think you can prepare for something like this, Larry. It's definitely has been an interesting year, but very excited for how these kids have continued to work hard and going through the off-season workouts and whatnot. I'm very happy. We're looking forward to get to a full football season.
You come from a football family, your dad, everybody in your family, football-oriented. You had a great tutelage in the icon of icons in George Smith at St. Thomas Aquinas and so many others along the way. You and I have talked about this, how you've got your coaching style. You said to me that you got a little bit of everybody and, a lot of successful people. Talk about that. And growing up in an area like upstate New York and Syracuse, where there's a lot of people who came out of that area as well.
Sure. No, I mean, absolutely. You know, and that's one thing that I think our staff has done a great job is telling these kids never, remember where you came from, where you're at, and that's one thing that we're trying to do right now is just continue to work on football. I have a great staff and the kids have been outstanding. We have a lot of young talent and it's exciting. We just can't wait to May 1st, get out there for us. Football.
Coach, what if, you know, you got three games in or so in the fall. Obviously, that was kind of crazy. Yeah. I got a chance to see that one game against Taravella. But, you know, I mean, what can you get out of a year like this past year? Because, I mean, you have limited film. You had to send a senior class away with basically a lack of recruiting exposure. You as a coach, sure. I mean, you must have to spend a lot of midnight oil, burning, watching film, making contacts, just to maybe get these kids a look or two.
Well, the crazy thing is, Larry, you know, our AD, Scott Selvidge, who's been phenomenal throughout this whole ordeal, you know, you have a seven-game schedule, and, you know, we played three opponents that weren't even on our schedule originally. have no idea. Yeah, you have no idea what you're preparing yourself for, but you want to get these seniors, and I feel bad for the seniors. I really do. You know, I really do. You know, the class of 2021, you want to get them film. But it was tough. You know, it was really tough. You know, you're playing the last week of December, you know. I mean, that's state championship week on a normal year, non-COVID. And, you know, we're playing our third game, you know. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, something ain't right about that picture. Certainly, definitely. Rocco Casullo joining us, head coach at Cypress Bay. And coach, here's another thing too. Obviously, as you come into this spring, and I had talked about it in the opening, this is going to be another crazy year because there's no exposure from the colleges. They don't get to be on campus like they do, sure. And nobody probably knows that better than you over the years at St. Thomas, seeing hundreds of coaches come through during the spring. Now the kids have to be a little bit more creative again. What kind of advice can you give not only your kids, but, you know, for the kids who are in that class of 22 who totally missed out on last year's spring and this year once again? So they're getting shut out twice. What's your best, or what do you tell your kids, your rising seniors in the class of 22 to do and to be, how to be proactive in this process?
That's a great question, Larry, because, I mean, without you, none of this happens. And I think, you know, on Twitter, and that's one thing that we discuss in our workouts is, you know, Twitter is huge. These coaches, the dead period till May 31st, I feel bad for these college coaches. You know, I feel bad for these kids. You know, it's hard, you know. Guys like yourself that care and promote, you know, that's what we need. You know, that's what we need.
And during the offseason, you have kids doing everything. You have kids going to lineman camp. You have kids participating on 7-on-7. And obviously, you got to be in condition. So you have your weight training and you have your your conditioning programs. This goes on for a couple more weeks, and then you have your spring. During spring, do you still do? You maintain? You still lift? You still do all that stuff that you, because you only have a limited days on the field. So what do you basically do on the off days?
We have a 3-day what's good about our program at Cypress Bay is, you know, I get these football players on B days, you know, and, you know, performers been outstanding. You know, they've done everything, you know, for us, you know, and they've really helped us during this time, going back to, you know, last summer. And that's, you know, you're working out, and then you got to get ready May 1st, and it's spring football. I mean, we can't wait to after it. But yeah, I mean, it's a grind. You know, my staff does a tremendous job after workouts to do. You know, we go outside, offensive install, defensive install, and you know, we're ready to go. You know, we're ready to go. You just got to move forward.
Yeah, no, you do. Rocco Casullo joining us, head coach at Cypress Bay. And coach, final question, just talk about a little bit of what you guys got planned summer-wise. I mean, are you going to are a lot of the kids who need the exposure maybe go to some of those college camps? I know you maintain your weight room and everything like that. What else do you guys do leading up to, you know, summer workouts in August?
Well, we're going to have morning workouts, obviously. And then, again, you know, as these camps start to open up and these campuses, college campuses starting to open up, these kids got to go, Larry. You know that. They need to get exposure. They need to get out of campus. They need to speak with college coaches. They need to see where they fit in. If you know, it's tough. You know, I just hope that this can all work out as we move forward. Seven on seven. You know, we had a great 7-on-7 5-week schedule. Myself, Matt DeBuck, Monarch, and Chaminade came in. It was great. You know, but there's stuff that you have to do, and I plan on doing that. You know, moving forward. You know, I know Brian and I talked about that at West Broward. You know, we got to get this. We got to continue to, you know, make it whatever we can do for these kids. That's what we got to do.
I agree. Coach Rocco Casullo, head coach at Cypress Bay. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Appreciate it. I know you got an important meeting with your Cypress Bay family tonight, so that's a good thing. So at least you got them off to a good start, and we'll go from there. Again, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Larry. I always appreciate it.
Good stuff. Coach Rocco Casullo from Cypress Bay. Most of you remember him, St. Thomas Aquinas, did a great job, defensive coordinator, head coach, and learned a lot. Dad was a coach, Super Bowl, so he's been around football. So obviously he has a little bit of a grasp for the game. Speaking about grasp for the game, big doings this past weekend in Orlando. I had a lot of people who were texting me about how kids were doing, how UCF looked, and certainly Jason Beattie was front and center like he always is, and he's kind enough to join us this evening. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time, and what a weekend in Orlando. A lot of interest again with the Knights.
Absolutely. It was a really fun-filled weekend, and it wrapped up a great spring for a new UCF head coach, Gus Van Lom.
He, you know, I mean, he's making national news. He's getting the ear of a lot of people who, you know, who had listened to him in the past, but now he's in Orlando. In the past, he was at Auburn. You know, he's been, you know, because he's always vocal in what he says, and he's adamant about the state of Florida and recruiting the state of Florida as a primary reason, because in one of the interviews I heard him say, I spent basically my entire career getting to a point where I could recruit Florida full time. So obviously he's had a dream of been, he's spent many a night thinking about a strategy if he ever got in here. And as an assistant coach, he recruited Florida, and certainly as a head coach, he's certainly come away with some gems. Talk about that. I mean, you know, because it seems like, I know that O'Leary, and I know that everybody says they want to get Orlando back, and in a lot of ways, I think Frost did get some of the Orlando schools back that maybe were alienated in the past, but he seems, Gus Malzahn seems like he's ready to have breakfast every morning with somebody from the Orange County and Seminole County.
Yeah, it's really refreshing. I mean, you mentioned Scott Frost coming in and some of the guys he was able to grab from schools in the area, and you look at, you know, Adrian Kills and Otis Anderson and Gabe Davis, and then Josh Heupel came in, and the last year or so, I mean, you know, 2020 was a difficult one for recruiting and not having on-campus visits, et cetera, you know. But, you know, he just kind of turned away from the Central Florida area. I mean, when Gus was brought in, so many local head coaches, the Orlando Sentinel did really good reporting about this, so many local head coaches at Oviedo and Edgewater and Dr. Phillips were just so excited to hear that Gus Malzahn will put a priority, not just on the state of Florida, but the area of Orlando. And we've seen that this spring. In addition to the spring game being open to the public, Gus has had three scrimmages these past three Saturdays leading up to the spring game open to the public. And while they can't, you know, contact or in-person talk with these recruits, open to the public means open to the public for all of these recruits. So, you know, I've seen kids from West Orange and Apopka and Denver Creek and Dr. Phillips and Osceola and Edgewater, and, you know, schools that in the past definitely have been at UCF, but definitely had not been over the past two or three years. And Gus Malzahn fully understands the talent in the area.
And it's so important, because I remember back – And, you know, when Coach O'Leary was there, and they're telling me, well, oh, yeah, he's got no relationship with Darlington and Apopka, he has no relationship, you know, with the Dr. Phillips people. And I go, what? I mean, those are your key schools. Those are the schools that end up, you know, at the state title game. You kind of want, you know, and that's like, you know, Miami or Florida, Florida State, them taking the local schools and shoving them off to the side. And you can't do that. I mean, especially when you have an area like Orlando. And people have to understand, it's become now one of the better areas for high school football. And it wasn't 5 years ago. I mean, they would have a team there every 3-4 years. Now, you've got some big-time talent in all the classes, and I think it's vital moving forward that Orlando doesn't lose kids to Alabama, you know, and Wisconsin and Minnesota, mm-hmm. and, you know, like they have in the past, because they don't have that many elite kids. You got to keep kids home, and I think Gus Malzahn is the brand, Jason, that I think that keeps them here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, and not only do those kids, you know, occasionally go to Alabama or Minnesota or even Nebraska, you know, Scott Frost is still recruiting Florida very well. A lot of those guys end up back at UCF or Florida or Miami. They transfer back home, and, you know, whether it's too cold or they're homesick or they're not getting playing time, whatever the reason is, it all leads back to Florida. So Gus is just telling his kids, why go out of state? You know, you can stay here and be the hometown hero and play in front of your family and you know, where it's beautiful year-round in Orlando. So Gus understands that, and his recruiting staff and the rest of his coaching staff fully understand that. And they've really impressed me and UCF fans so far.
Yeah, no doubt. Jason Beatty joining us. Nice 247. I'll tell you what, Jason, when you take a look, and I watched a lot of the clips of that game, it seems like they have some guys. I mean, they have some size up front. They have, obviously, we know what they have at quarterback, and we know receiver-wise, but their secondary looks really, really faster. Linebacking core, I believe they have one or two kids coming back from last year. But, I mean, everything that I heard, everything was upbeat. I mean, I know we're only in April, and I know that, you know, championships aren't won in April, but at the same time, it carries over. It carries over to the summer. There's a lot more excitement going around for the school and for the football program, and anticipation for the fall, you know, when they get it cranked up. Talk about that, because I don't think people really understand that in a spring, by missing out on spring last year, you really missed that momentum going into the off season.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't, because you don't know what to expect. You lost a lot of kids, but now you have a barometer. He had a guy, you know, I know they had a lot of kids out injured. I mean, obviously a lot of schools do this time of year, but at the same time, there's something positive to build from. Obviously, a coach that is really good, and he surrounded himself with excellent assistant coaches, but also a momentum. And everybody knows that when UCF is at a level, Jason, they can play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, there was a lot that went into last season and the four losses that came to the hand of Josh Heupel and the previous coaching staff. But after watching 3 or 4 weeks of spring practice, it was pretty evident how much of an impact no spring had, not just on UCF, but I think a lot of college football programs across the country. I mean, we talked with a few kids that you know, were really candid with us during practices and saying how, you know, after everything got shut down, they went home and, you know, they did some workouts, but nothing is like being in football shape and being right in the locker room and being in a weight room with, you know, strength and conditioning coaches on hand, right, looking at you. And some of these kids put on a lot of weight, and when they came back in finally over the summer last year, they had to, you know, work that back in and get back into shape. And, you know, having this spring this year was huge. And right, Gus talked about building the foundation. You know, they did install some of his offense and some of the new schemes and things like that on defense as well. But laying the foundation down for the expectations of what a Gus Malzahn coach team looks like going into the summer, you know, staying in shape and really working hard for fall camp and into the season. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can ride a spring, and, you know, sure, everyone who had a big spring maybe not will be as much of an impact in the fall. It's so hard to, you know, you got to take it like a grain of rice, I feel like. But at the same time, it's huge for a program like UCF.
Yeah. No doubt. Before I let you go, talk about a little bit about what he's going to do now, because he got here late. I mean, he got here right in time for spring to start. What is he kind of like? Does he hit the ground, around Central Florida, all the areas where they recruit in? Does he go to, like those rubber chicken dinners? What does he do, for the rest of the, because I know that they're going to take a break, because I already saw, I think, one of their coaches who's already in Atlanta. So, I guess on break, Coach Reed is already back in Atlanta. What does Coach do during the next couple of months? Like a lot of these meet and greets.
Well, I think this week UCF on spring break, and you mentioned how he hasn't been here for that long, and a lot of his staff haven't been here for that long, so they're actually still moving. He mentioned a few of his coaches still have to finish moving to Orlando. They kind of just, G.J. Kinney came all the way from Hawaii and still have to finish moving. And, so I think Gus just moved into the house, full time about 2 weeks ago, maybe. So he's still probably in the process of moving everything from Auburn. Hopefully the idea is that on-campus recruiting will be able to open back up in June 1st, hopefully. There seems to be a lot of momentum, and UCF has scheduled official visits and visits for weekends and camps. And yeah, but he just talked about, they're going to go full on recruiting. And once that can be in person, they'll get out there and hit the road and, eventually settle down a little bit and get into the summer. So I think they're excited to be here.
Well, we'll check in with you, from time to time to see what's going on. Maybe, a lot of things, like you said, things pop all the time. You never know. But again, thanks so much for filling us in. You were great as always. And we'll check in with you. Tell everybody how they could follow you on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Check us out at Mikes247.com, on Twitter, at TheRealBD on Twitter. Daily UCF content coming right at you. Recapping this spring and getting ready for a loaded summer, hopefully with a lot of recruiting involved. So keep up with all of it there.
Good stuff. Thanks, Jason, as always. As always, thanks so much for catching us up. And we look forward to seeing if they have a camp up there. We'll definitely be up for it. You there? Oh, I guess he left. Anyway, that's Jason. I was trying to tell him that when we if they have some camps, we'll try to get up that way and check it out and see what's going on. Anyway, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts treat athletes of all levels, whether it's elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap up our number one. Coach Bill Reichel from St. Thomas University is next. Back to wrap up hour number one with you, Larry Bluestein, along with Steven, as we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. And we thank so much in our last segment for joining us, Jason Beatty, talking a little bit about UCF and the spring game and that they had under Gus Malzone. Now we turn our attention locally. As we do, we check in with our St. Thomas University Bobcats from time to time, and obviously it's been kind of a crazy season, but nevertheless, we have a spring, and the spring will lead to the next step, and so on and so on, and we'll be back in business, and as he's done quite a few times. Coach Bill Reichel is joining us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Since we talked to you last, you've added new titles, you've done a lot of different things, and but everything's going great in the spring, and it's not snowing out.
No, absolutely. can't beat the South Florida weather, and finally getting a little bit of rain back here. But no, it's a good spring, and finally, I mean, it's crazy. We as we've talked many times, we started this football program 2 years ago now, and hit the ground running, and had that first season without even having anybody on campus yet until they showed up for camp in August, and this was our first spring with everything going on. We're finally having a full off season of lifting and a full off season of our spring allotment of practices and everything else. So it's been nice to be around the guys and kind of continue to develop them and get this thing going.
I know it was frustrating for you and everybody else, certainly because you had that momentum, because you had, you played off a year one and you were anxious to get to year two. What did you guys do for much of that, you know, the down period? I mean, I know there was never really any down period. You're always doing something. But the time that, you know, the kids were separated and the coaches were separated, what are some of the things that you instituted besides Zoom, I'm sure?
Yeah, we had the Zoom like the, our current society is. I'm sure everybody's as zoomed out as we are too. But we everybody left campus like they did almost pretty much everywhere across the nation, and we kept up with them with the strength and conditioning workouts, and we had some modified versions of people that had to do stuff with no weight equipment and people that had access to weight equipment, and just kind of kept up with them there and tried to keep up with them academically and continued some of the stuff we do normally on campus to kind of get them through the rest of the school year and things like that and through the summer. And we did kind of trying just to build our culture and really just set the ground framework for this football team. We did some leadership stuff that I think we've talked about them in the past, but Buck right. Martinez, who runs the Student Aces group, is an alumni for us, does a fantastic job with all of our athletic programs. So we did quite a few Zoom meetings doing that stuff. But like I'm sure you know, Zoom isn't the same as being in person. So it was kind of a learning curve for everybody and really just continuing to try to build what we're building here, not even so much on the field from a practice standpoint, but all the stuff you have to do off the field to really get the team where you want it to be. It's been different, but we can't control that. We have what we have available or what we had available and did our best to kind of continue to do what we needed to do.
Coach, how was spring? I mean, as far as competition, do you have, I mean, there were obviously because there was a lot of holdovers from last year, a lot of kids were returning. Did you find it something that you really enjoyed to see the competition at all the spots? Because I know you brought in a lot of really good kids that probably are not all there yet, but at the same time, you had a lot of good kids coming back from last year.
No, absolutely. That we're fortunate that these guys have been working extremely hard, and anytime you can get out there at football practice, it's a lot of fun. It's a blast, and it's a blast for the guys to be able to have those practices, those allotments in the spring. And we're fortunate enough to play our season in the fall, so we have a little bit more familiar structure of what the off season's like and how we have to do things to kind of continue to teach these guys what it's like to be a college football player. But some great competition and really just telling these guys, like, this is what, teaching them what the spring season is intended for, to maybe put in a couple wrinkles and things like that, but to really be able to dive into the playbook and understand more of the why. You get that as you become an older player. But obviously fall camp, when you have a young team, you're just trying to get them ready to play these games. So to really dive into what some of the things are from a football standpoint. And again, like right. I said, to build our team up and to get these guys just getting better at football, just developing them to become better football players from that athletic stance standpoint and using the time allotted.
No doubt. Coach Bill Reichel joining us, head coach at St. Thomas University. And another thing, Coach, when you take a look at the support, student body-wise, I know that a lot of the students came out to the games. When you had the year before with the tailgates all the time, the trying to set down a little bit of something for these kids to look forward to. And talk about that, because I think creating that atmosphere is so huge, especially when you first start out.
No, absolutely. That trying to, I like we've talked before, this is the second time we've started a football program with right. the president and I, and it's part of campus life. The pageantry and everything else that goes along with college football, it's not only a great opportunity for our kids in Florida here to stay home and hopefully have a great experience and really add to their college education, but football is for the whole campus. Where you know what you see when you have a marching band out there and you have the tailgates, and it's just as much a part of campus life if you're not a football player, that hopefully we can continue to build that and create that. That this year was a little bit different with some of the people's COVID concerns and some of the restrictions we had to go through of how we could actually operate, but hopefully that stuff continues to loosen up and we continue to get back to normal and that type of thing. And I think that was the nice part of, we talked about it, I think, right after the season or around signing day or something, that it was just a sense of normalcy for everybody around, that from everything everybody's been through to be able to have a football game essentially on our campus and do some of that stuff, even though it was restricted, I think it was kind of a breath of fresh air for all of our student athletes that were able to participate in athletics this fall and get back to what will hopefully be real life.
Good stuff. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time, as always. It's great always hearing from you and talking about more college football in South Florida. I love it, everything about it. I enjoy whenever I'm over at your campus, a lot going on. It's a great place to be. Again, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
No, I appreciate everything, and I look forward to having you back here soon.
Good stuff. Coach Bill Reichel from St. Thomas University joining us, which will end hour number one. How about that? Great hour. We have a huge second hour. Coach Willie Taggart, head coach at FAU, will be joining us at about 7:05 or so. Derek Gibson, head coach at Miami Killian. Shannon Jordan from Prep Zone, Prep Red Zone Florida will join us. And also Jerry Hamilton from ESPN Recruiting. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.